Hi, guys. This is Chris Beck. Thanks for tuning in on The Walk Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack. See you this year in Toronto.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's The Walk Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Episode 40. Look at us go, buddy.
I know. It's exciting. If we're not careful, we're going to have to stop calling this a hobby.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? I know we were talking Blue Jays lineup here right before we hit record, and we're like, well, we better get this on tape here before we get too deep into this.
Yeah,
welcome to The Walk-Off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined by my good buddy Adam Mack here.
Hello there.
I know I got a kick out of this weekend. You sent me a text, and it's just kind of makes me laugh that we're both in the same boat here. But you sent me Bo Bichette's rookie card.
Oh, you're yeah.
Should I?
Should I pull the trigger on this? So, okay. It wasn't just like a Bo Bichette rookie card. It was like, it was graded. It was a PSA 10 out of 10 gem mint Bo Bichette rookie card. It was like $280. And man, did I ever, like, I don't do any baseball cards. I have no baseball cards, but I thought that'd be a great place to start. I texted you, should I pull the trigger on this? And then I thought, my wife would absolutely kill me if I did that.
What got me too is literally as he texted this to me, I had just been looking at like this Blue Jays hoodie, just a beauty, pinstripes, like $100 American and then $30 with shipping, right? And I was just like right on teetering on the edge. And even when you were like, my wife would kill me, I'm like, right, my wife would kill me too. Like, this would not be a good move. Yeah. They keep us in check,
they
eh?
They do. Yeah, they're good for us.
Really excited about today's guest. We are on the last day of spring training, so it is the end of the spring training extravaganza where we have been talking to Blue Jays prospect the entire spring training. Our last prospect that we're airing the interview for is Chris Beck, and he is a catcher in the Blue Jays system. He's probably going to start at AA this year. Good buddies with Alek Manoah, grew up with him. We get into that with him. We chat a little bit about what it's like being a bilingual catcher and what a advantage it is to be able to deal with the Latin American pitchers and the English speaking pitchers. And he's kind of the glue in the clubhouse a bit, which is very cool. And what was really neat about this interview, and I think you agree, is that he kind of squeezed us in. So it's a little bit shorter interview. I think it's only like 29 minutes, 30 yes. minutes, but he squeezed us in well at the spring training facility. So yeah, he's in his locker and he's walking around pacing, waiting for the weight room because he had to lift at 12:30. Like they all have designated time. So it was kind of cool
that
you know, he squeezed us in. Yeah, so we'll air that. My guess is probably 30 minutes away. We've got a pretty intensive show ahead of us here.
Yeah.
We're going to break down the opening day roster. Things look like they're solidified. A few question marks still to go, but it's pretty much decided here. We're going to give some predictions on our MVPs, Cy Young winners, batting champions.
It's a little refined from what we did last year.
A little bit refined, yes.
We got some feedback on our stat predictions and our check-ins. Put a few listeners to sleep, so we're going to dial it back just a touch.
So let's get into it, my man. Jays opening day roster. My goodness, I can't even believe we get to talk about this right now. A few surprises. Jonathan Davis made the roster this year. He's going to be the fifth outfielder, so they're running with five outfielders. I think part of the reason that he's on the roster right now is that George Springer's injured, and it's a question mark there, right? So it's still unsure if Springer very well could start opening day. It's an oblique strain, which is always a little scary, right? Just because oblique injuries can linger and reoccur and be a real pain in the butt, but hopefully Georgie boy heals up and we see him opening day. But you know what? Play it safe. Have Jonathan Davis on the roster. That's great. Joe Panik made the team. Everyone kind of saw that coming. Lefty bat, utility guy, can move around the infield. Was there last year. Montoya loved him. That's no surprise. Right? Another little bit of a surprise. Alonzo Kirk officially the backup catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, which is exciting to a lot of the fan base. Captain Kirk, of course, made his debut in September. And it's funny, too, because I know you and I were talking about 3 weeks ago, right? And you said, there's no way he makes the team. Why start his service time? And on top of that, you'd just lose Reese McGuire. And then in the next 3 weeks, Kirk proceeded to continue to hammer the ball, and Reese McGuire continued to look like crap. Yeah. So
yeah, I woke up this morning to quite a few comments on a video I made last week saying there's no way Kirk is going to make the opening day roster. Just a bunch
And they're like, you're an idiot.
Ooh, this didn't age well.
So. People were just waiting to comment on that, eh? Yeah,
so I'm going to have to take that video down.
But I love seeing it. Love seeing you know what I like about it is that it does show that this Blue Jays front office is in win now mode.
Yeah.
Right? They're putting the best team on the field rather than playing the asset management game. And there's something to be said for that.
I think that George Springer's injury played a factor.
Yes.
I think missing his bat for potentially a few weeks, I think, you know, Danny Jansen's a great catcher defensively.
Yes.
Offensively, he's a bit of a...
has yet to really show that he can do it at a major league level.
And I think just the idea of being able to put a fire bat in the lineup when we're going to potentially be missing one for a few weeks.
Now, I know there's a few other announcements on the roster that were kind of exciting. Tim Mayza just made this team, which is mind-blowing to me. Big power lefty, right? This is a guy that got season-ending surgery in 2019, has been recovering for almost 18 months now, was off the radar. I don't think anyone really – I don't even think people in the Jays system expected – he would make this team, but he pitched so well. They're like, how can we not put a power lefty in the back end of this bullpen? So that's cool. That's quite a comeback story.
Yeah.
Trent Thornton, another guy who's kind of dealt with a year worth of injuries, also made the team. I think part of that also is, you know, there's some injuries. So he's probably going to be filling in that starting rotation while Robbie Ray heals up. We're going to get into injuries in a second here. There were a few of them over the last week. But it's cool that Thornton made the roster. And then Rowdy Tellez, no surprise there that he was rostered.
Absolutely.
Looks like there's one more bullpen spot to be decided. It's kind of between Castro, Francisco Liriano, and Julian Merriweather. Up in the air. We'll see what happens there. So I know we've talked about this a few times over spring training. Alek Manoah, now obviously Jays fans have fallen in love with him, and there are a lot of knowledgeable baseball pundits that have been saying, put him in, you cowards. Do it.
Right.
Put him on the roster. And I totally respect a lot of these opinions. You know, like these aren't uneducated baseball fans or uneducated pundits that are saying this. And maybe he does have it to be a big leaguer right now, right out of spring training. I still hate that idea. I don't know where you're at on this.
Hate it.
I just don't know why rush him. And I know the answer to that. I know what there's people out there listening that the answer is, we need starting pitching. What do you mean? Why wouldn't you rush him? But I just feel like he has never pitched above high A ball. Okay. He's had a hell of a spring. Let him continue to build his confidence. Put him in New Hampshire. Let him play in AA. Let him dominate. Let him push the needle. Make the Blue Jays promote him to AAA. Let him stay in AAA and dominate for a month. Maybe we bring him up mid-July, pick up another guy at the trade deadline. All of a sudden, our starting rotation looks pretty darn good,
that's
right?
That's the thing, right? Like, he's a free trade deadline pickup, if nothing else, right? Like,
if nothing else. And you know what? If come mid-July, he's not ready to be moved up, then we actually saved him by not pushing him forward, right? Like, if he's struggling with AA or AAA hitters,
then he shouldn't have been in the big leagues anyways.
He'd be eaten alive. Yeah. Exactly. And I think we've seen it too in a lot of cases. Like, everyone forgets Alek Manoah is 22 years old, and there's so many 22-year-olds on this team that everyone's like, well, of course. But you forget pitchers develop a little bit behind some of these position players, right? Like, there's just a little bit more mental acumen to the game, more of a chess match going on when you're a pitcher.
Yeah, there really is. I love Alek Manoah, love everything about him. I think the upside is there. I think he has ace potential a few years down the road from now.
Yes.
I think his ceiling is higher than Nate Pearson's. There, I said it.
And I think that it is super important for a ball player, especially a pitcher, to experience a slump, to experience some struggles. Look at what happened to Vladdy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Vladdy probably had he, like, for Vladdy's big thing was getting his head around the fact that he had to be in the same shape as everyone else because he didn't need to be in the minors, right? And I mean, every player has whatever they are struggling with that they need to learn. And the place to learn anything is the minor leagues. It's why it exists.
Yeah, I mean, look at one of the all-time Blue Jays, Roy Halladay.
Yeah.
You know, he struggled in the major leagues, got sent back down to the minors, refound himself, came back and was a Cy Young winner / every year All-Star for the rest of his career.
Perennial All-Star, absolutely. So, I mean, we don't need to harp on this because we have talked Manoah quite a bit over the last few episodes. But I just wish everyone listening to just be like, you know what? Like, chill. He's going to get there. And if he doesn't, then why? Then you know what? Like, then this was the right move anyway. Exactly. So, let's talk injuries for a second here. It's funny because last week, like, your voice was through my head so often, right? Sorry it was going.
That's a
terrible
voice to have in your head.
Well, you've been hammering this home all spring. Spring training doesn't matter. The numbers don't matter. Spring training doesn't matter. The only thing that matters in spring is not getting injured.
Right.
And we had just like what felt like an avalanche of injuries last week because they all happened in the same about 2-day span. We already mentioned a couple of them. Kirby Yates, as most of you know, our big free agent closer, out for the year. Tommy John surgery. He's never going to play with the Blue Jays. The most we got to see him in a Blue Jays uniform is in some promos. So enjoy that. I wish him all the best. I hope him the utmost success in his recovery. I mean, the guy's 35 and going into Tommy John surgery, and that is not an easy. And this is his second TJ surgery. Mm-hmm. I know 85% of pitchers after the first one come back, 25% after the second. So, and he's 35. I really fingers crossed, man, that he pulls it off, and we see him at 37 in 2023 with a team, and he's killing it. But it's not going to be this year.
No.
We touched on Robbie Ray. He's injured. And this is one of those things with Robbie Ray where you're just like, life injuries happen. We all
He had to be a dad for a minute.
He had to be a dad. So what happened is he fell down the stairs holding his kid, right? And he bruised his elbow. Kid's fine. Robbie's fine. But he's got a big bruised elbow on his pitching elbow. And so it's just time will heal that. He's probably going to miss the first start, maybe the second start of the season, but he should be back in a week or two. George Springer, we kind of touched on that too, the oblique strain. Again, they're still saying he might play in opening day. I doubt it, but
why rush it?
Why rush it? Fingers crossed.
We still got Grichuk.
And I predicted this. That was my long shot. He's not a bum. And my long shot prediction was that Randall Grichuk has a career year this year and hits 40 bombs. And you even said, where is he going to find the at-bats? Well, you know what? If he gets to start the season and he's hot, the hot bat is going to stay in this lineup.
That's the thing is even once Springer returns, we'll move Gurriel to the bench or we'll give Teoscar. Whoever's cold will sit out. Whoever's hot will stay in. But we have a great outfield.
We have a great outfield. I truly believe that, and it has some depth. We have four major league outfielders.
There's four guys that have 30 home run potential.
Exactly, which is pretty darn impressive. Buddy, I'm really excited. Obviously, we're right around the corner from opening day. Thursday afternoon, well, for us Albertans and BCers, Thursday morning. But 11 a.m. Mountain Time start, 1 Eastern, and we're going to try a little something fun.
We're going to get weird with it.
We're going to What, YouTube live, right?
Yeah, it'll be a live stream watch party.
Live stream watch party.
Play, comment, whatever you want to call it. We're not going to be Buck Martinez level, but it'll be a good hang.
Yeah, we'll just, and we'll be shit talking the Yankees, oh, and you can get on our Discord, and we can kind of be talking back and forth there as well, yeah. Commenting there. Should be fun. We're actually, Ball Cap Sports is running a watch party as well, so we'll be doing a little cut-in on their stuff. We're also probably going to try and set up a couple guys to come and do some live cut-ins for us, so should be fun.
Yep,
just
be a good time.
Throw the game on and hang out with us. That's YouTube we're doing.
Yeah, on YouTube.
You can go to our YouTube page, The Walk Off, and subscribe. That's always appreciated. And, buddy, this game is going to be so great. Hyunjin Ryu against Gerrit Cole. Like, what a way to start the season. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a pitcher's duel, right? Or it's not. It's going to be a slugfest with these teams. You don't know.
Yeah, no kidding. Two pretty incredible lineups, eh? I mean, we talk about Yankees. Yankees lost Luke Voit for the next few weeks. He's getting some scar tissue cleared out of his knee. Is that correct?
Yes.
So he'll be out
and
for
it's
a while.
It's a while. It's unclear as to when he'll be back. Might be May or June.
But that lineup is still sickening. Let's be honest. I mean,
that's the thing. They could lose Stanton and Judge for a while, and that lineup is still sickening.
And chances are they will.
Yeah, chances are they will. Isn't that the case, so, man? Yeah, it should be interesting how this batting lineup looks, too. It's going to be kind of exciting all year long as to what the order of this Jays team is going to be, because if the Blue Jays brass has proven anything over the last couple years, is that this lineup is going to be changing constantly depending on the scenario. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see anybody pigeonholed into one spot. Everyone would love to see a guy like Bichette in the two-hole constantly. This is going to be a very different lineup than, let's say, the last time the Jays competed in 2015 and 16, where you just knew that it was going to be whoever, you know,
right.
Ben Revere, Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion every single time, right? So, and the Jays are starting on the road.
Right. So what are your expectations for the Jays this year?
That's a really good question, man. I'm a homer. I
World Series champs.
Well,
they're going to sweep the Dodgers in four. I get it. You're excited about this team.
I think they're a wild card team.
Right.
I think they finished second in the division. I think the Rays are a very good team. And we could finish third. And if that's the case, it's not impossible. We're playing the Rays in the wild card game. You know, like, I don't know, man.
I think we'll need to see where this team's at. What, Yankees are a shoe-in other than something catastrophic?
Unless their pitching falls apart. Like, the Yankees' pitching is suspect because they do have a bunch of question marks with a ton of injury guys. Guys like Corey Kluber, who hasn't pitched in a year, right? Like, guys like Jameson Taillon, who also hasn't pitched in a year. Like, they have about four dudes in their starting rotation that have combined for about 100 innings in the last year. So some question marks there. But if they perform the way they should perform and they stay healthy, I think the Yankees are the best team in the AL East. The Rays lost Morton and Snell, so I want to say that they're going to take a step back. But, buddy, the Rays lose their best starting pitchers almost every year, and it doesn't seem to matter. So
that is true. They're a system team.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Jays are going to be playing meaningful games all year long.
Yes.
That's as much as I'm willing to commit to.
Yeah.
But I'm still excited by that because it's been a while.
Me too. And that's the thing is I do believe that we're going to be September 15th here, and we're going to be talking about how close they are.
Yeah.
Or that they're just hanging on and someone's biting at their heels.
Exactly. And that's exciting. That's exciting. That's really exciting. So, just enjoy the ride, guys.
You know what else I'm excited for, man?
What's that?
And some people are going to hate this take, okay? So, the Jays go to Arlington, Texas, second series of the year.
Okay.
Globe Life Park. I was actually supposed to go to a series there last May. The park is supposed to be absolutely incredible. It's a brand new stadium. Texas, being Texas, has thrown caution to the wind. 100% capacity for their opening day against the Jays. I'm actually excited to watch a ball game with a full crowd. Listen, I'm well aware that this is probably a bad idea. I'm also all for, fingers crossed, that this is safety. No one gets sick. I know they're enforcing masks. Like, I hope this goes well. I know there's also a lot of people who are probably listening to me and hear the fact that I'm excited about it and just think, you idiot. After all the sacrifice everyone has made to be able to watch a game on TV with a full crowd, like, get over yourself.
Cancel culture is coming for you, Scott.
It might be fair. It might be a fair take, man. Like, maybe this is not the time for them to be packing a stadium, but everyone should remember the United States is ahead of us in vaccinations. They're already far ahead of us, actually. Like, everyone in the United States who wants a shot is supposed to have one by mid-May.
So it's like frontline workers, senior citizens, pro athletes, and then everybody else, right? That's the
and
order.
And then everybody else is kind of the order. Okay. I don't know, man. Maybe it is selfish. I think it's going to be really fun to watch a full stadium. It'll be cool. Yeah. And you know what? Why don't we enjoy it? They're doing it anyway. So let's enjoy it. And then we can shame Texas for being irresponsible after the series.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. We can shame them in hindsight.
Oh, buddy. Well, did you have any other Jays stuff you wanted to get to here before we move on to the rest of the league?
Not really, other than the catching situation. I think Kirk is going to play more games than Danny Jansen this year. I hope that's
really
the case. Yeah, I'm so done with Danny Jansen.
Yeah, I know you are.
I can't wait till the day where Riley Adams is our backup catcher and Alejandro Kirk is our starting catcher.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way, man. I'm excited about
I don't know.
Excited about Kirk.
It's just when every position player we have has some sort of a sizzling excitement to them, and then there's Danny Jansen.
Yeah. It's just no sizzle.
So underwhelming. He's just
no sizzle, no steak.
He's just bread.
Yeah.
He's just bread.
But you know what, man? Hopefully he finds it. Hopefully people are commenting on this episode in 4 months and they're like, see, Adam Mack knows nothing about catching.
I hope with the amazing lineup around him, he just gets easy pitches and he takes advantage.
Yeah. So we've talked about this a few times over the last 8 months. Sticky substances.
Okay. New rules.
So new rules, Major League Baseball has decided, you know what? Let's make a big deal out of sticky substances. Everyone talks about it. Let's get on board with this. So they have decided MLB attempts to crack down on foreign substances as outlined in a memo obtained by ESPN. Among the plans, increased monitoring by compliance officers. Whatever that means. Inspections of baseballs taken out of play that will use a third-party lab to check for substances. And then they're going to do spin rate analysis. Listen, there are so many holes in this. It's actually mind-blowing to me. Okay? So let's start with increased monitoring by compliance officers. What does that mean? They're checking the balls beforehand? Is that what that is?
Beforehand, afterhand?
Like, I know they're sending balls to the lab. If they find a substance, do they check the spin rate of the pitcher from previous games and then this game? Is that the idea? Here, like, I don't even get it. Like, here's the thing. So many pitchers use it. There's so many outs here, right? So you find a substance on the ball, the pitcher's like, well, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we checked your spin rate. Matches up with everything else you did, because guess what? These guys have been doing this since the beginning of their friggin' career.
Well, this has larger implications than just the pitchers. This has, like, the Players Association is going to have a field day with this. Because I'm reading the quote, too, from Jeff Passan here. Players are subject to discipline by the commissioner's office for violating the official baseball rules, regardless of whether evidence of the violation has been discovered or not.
Yeah.
So whether
they're guilty right out of the bat. Like, I don't even understand what they're trying to do here.
I don't know, but I mean, 2018 Trevor Bauer is happy because he's been calling for this for years. Basically ever since Garrett Cole got his big contract, Trevor Bauer's like, hey, spin rate, like sticky.
He's cheating. But now 2021 Trevor Bauer, I mean, he's the most obvious guy using it.
Yeah.
Well, he's hired scientists to come up with the best sticky substances. His spin rate has increased 600 revolutions per minute in the last 3 years.
I love his agent responded to that Jeff Passan tweet and said, so what happens to players who've been using it their whole careers? Are they grandfathered in?
Which is such a great question. And she got ripped apart for that, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, you're just saying that because Trevor's cheating, blah. But like, it really is a solid question. So what? They're going to check the spin rate on some guy's ball, and then they're going to reference it with the year before? Well, what if he was just cheating the year before too?
Exactly.
Like, it's so arbitrary. Don't even put the rule in if it's going to be this ridiculous.
It's absurd, and yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to what we're going to do during the lockout season next year.
Oh, God, right?
Oh, man. It's wild. I don't know. Sure. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be one of those. Like, here's the thing, is if the penalty is anything other than a suspension, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
If it's Trevor Bauer, here's a $10,000 fine because you violated the policy. Okay, well, I still have 41.99 million left, so who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And it's just like you're sending this to a lab. Like, we're bringing scientists into this now to see if Trevor Bauer is increasing his spin rate.
I know.
But on the other hand, and you know what, man, I was online and there were some guys that brought up some really good stuff. Trevor Plouffe brought this up and he was like, you're darn right, if everyone knew that batters were corking their bats 85% of the time, that pitchers would be screaming from the rooftop, right? And batters have kind of just been like, well, I mean, I guess everyone does it, so they're not cracking down on it. We're just going to live our lives. So, I don't know. There is some fairness there. I don't know. We talked to Anthony Telford about it, and he brought up everyone uses it. It's more of a cold weather thing because you lose the grip on the ball. The guys that are using it all the time is what they're trying to cut down on. But I just don't see how you can pull it off. I don't know.
So here's the thing. When Major League Baseball gets a pack of game balls ready for the game, right? Fresh out of the factory.
Yeah.
Fresh out of the plastic. It is like a glossy ball. So they do like mud it down to kind of scuff it up and dirty it. That's why it has kind of a brownish grayish tinge to it as opposed to that bright pearl white. Why don't we just apply that sticky substance to every ball right out of the gate?
Yeah.
It's a fair playing field. It ends every fucking part of the, excuse my language. It ends the conversation. Everybody's using the same sticky substance. Nobody has to worry about a batter getting hit from a wild pitch on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but, like, they're already putting a substance on it. It's just a crappy substance. Put a better one on, and everybody's happy.
I'm not even advocating that we should allow it, especially considering it's been in the rule books forever that foreign substances on the ball is illegal. I just think there's no real way. I mean, Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball proves time and time and time again that they can't do things right most of the time. They think that they're going to be able to actually pinpoint guys without it blowing up in their face. Like, I don't know. And maybe they will crack down super hard and start suspending everyone. And then maybe we will see it go away. But I can't. Like, teams will lose their mind over this.
Yeah, it's not good.
We'll see how it plays out. I just like they floated this rule out there last week, and I as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, this is the stupidest, most arbitrary attempt at trying to regulate. Like, anyways.
Yeah.
I'm not even finishing sentences anymore. I just like, yeah, I just can't see how this works out.
Speaking of enforcing rules, did you hear about that referee in the NHL that got canned for getting caught on the hot mic saying, I want to give these guys a penalty?
To even it up, which happens constantly.
And again, it's just one of those things where, like, we know it happens, but just shut the hell up about it. And that's the same kind of vibe that I get with this sticky substance.
Well,
just be quiet about it. It's not
the NHL
good PR.
Fires him.
Yeah.
The NHL fires him, right?
No investigation, just we got him on mic, he's fired immediately.
But stop micing up. Like, this is the thing. It's an unwritten rule. Everybody knows the refs are trying to even things up all the time. Like, or if a guy's jawing at a ref constantly, of course he's more likely to give him a penalty.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing is silly to me, but
it's silly, but I also understand, like, he's got to go. Like, you can't have that.
He was 3 weeks away from, or like 3 months away from retirement anyways. Like, it was the easiest decision ever, but yeah.
Wild times. Wild times we live in.
Yeah, wild times. All right, my man. You know what? Before we give our predictions here, because we are going to do the AL MVP and NL MVP, the batting title champs for both leagues, and predict the Cy Young Award winners.
Right.
You obviously can join us on our Discord and do the same.
We'd love that.
But we've got some really exciting news about a guy we're interviewing at 3:30 this afternoon, Alberta time, 5:30 Eastern. We're talking to Josh Palacio right after the game. He's playing in this final spring training game. He's on the 40-man roster. This is the first time we've talked to a guy on the 40-man, which is very exciting. And on top of that, we had a guest. When did we talk to Shea Hillenbrand? Last week?
Probably 2 weeks ago. We've got quite a backlog of some pretty good guests that we've been...
Some pretty great guests. So a lot of...
Because of the spring training extravaganza with all these prospects.
Fellow Jays fans will remember Shea Hillenbrand. He was an all-star in 2005 for the team. He was the guy who wrote on the whiteboard, play for yourself, this is a sinking ship. And then John Gibbons challenged him to a fight. And he gets into it.
He gets into it, yeah.
He gets right into it.
He opens up about some stuff that he says he's never opened up about anywhere, which might hurt some feelings somewhere. But wild career he had.
Wild career. He talks about his time in Toronto. He talks about his all-star games. He talks about quitting baseball in his prime, buying a zoo. Yeah. Just like, honestly, it is insane what this man went through. So we're going to be airing that next week. New podcast, I guess we'll be airing it Friday, right?
Yeah, this Friday we'll go live with that. So new schedule. Do you want to get into what the new schedule is?
Yeah. While we're here, we might as well talk about the new schedule. So this is our last Monday podcast. The podcast will be moving to Fridays. We're going to do a live watch party on Thursday for opening day. Podcast on Friday. Radio show on Tuesday with 365 Sportscast. We were just...
added to that sports network there.
Added to the sports network, Radio Sports Network, which is very exciting.
So Tuesdays, 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Which will then roll over into Blue Jays
game. The Jays game.
For most nights. Most nights around 7 o'clock start, right?
Yeah.
You and I have discussed doing a live stream watch party for the Tuesday night games as well.
Yeah.
So we'll start the season with that. We'll see how it goes. See if there's any interest in people hanging out with us for that. We are going to re-air or republish, I guess, the Tuesday night live broadcast of the radio show, which will be an hour. So we'll put that up Wednesday morning. And then, the podcast from Mondays is going to be on Friday. So that was probably the most complicated way I could explain the schedule.
Yes, absolutely. But so our Friday podcast is going to be when we have our guests on. We have a guest every single Friday. We're going to continue to talk to some of the top up-and-coming Blue Jays prospects. We're going to continue to try and get ex-Blue Jays on the show, ex-Expos, Anthony Telford. We're going to, hopefully, fingers crossed, start talking to some Blue Jays. Buddy, here's the thing. Like, we might just wind up getting grandfathered in this season if a guy like Palacio gets called up, or Joey Murray or Jordan Groshans. Mm-hmm. You know, like, our catalog of interviews is great. They're all up on YouTube right now. These guys sit down with us for 45 minutes to an hour, and they talk baseball. They talk life. I'm literally beside myself at the quality of guests and how candid everyone has been with us. Yeah. We're just this little podcast that we're growing every day, but I mean, we're just a little podcast out of Alberta. Like,
yeah. I mean, we appreciate all the subscribers and listeners.
Absolutely. And every listener. Yeah.
But blown away the quality of guests we've had, considering how small we are. So, mm-hmm. I know we've been getting a lot of comments of people asking for, you know, this prospect or this Blue Jay or whatever. And trust us, we would love to talk to Bo Bichette or Austin Martin or any of these guys. Trust us, we would love to. If you really want to see that happen, best thing you can do is tell a friend. Tell a friend to subscribe.
Yeah.
The higher we get that subscriber count, unfortunately, the better chances we'll have of getting help. Their radar. Yes. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, and while we're at it, just thanks again, everybody, for listening. Like, it does mean a lot. I know some of you have struggled through our early episodes where our sound was terrible and we were just kind of learning the ins and outs of this, and we're still learning. We still get better every day, hopefully. Yes, fingers sir. Crossed. Shea Hillenbrand next week. We're talking to Josh Palacio today. Not exactly sure when we'll air his episode. However, we will get a little teaser clip ready, probably put that out tomorrow. Yeah. We've got Ali Schroeder, who is with the Canadian Women's Baseball National Team. Right. She is the first female baseball player in the collegiate leagues in Canada. So she's playing with the boys.
Really,
she's
cool.
Pitching. She's 19. We talked to her last week. She throws 83 miles an hour, like, which is the average speed for collegiate pitchers.
Right.
And she's got a slider that just is a wipeout slider. So very excited for her. And it was such a fun interview. So again, I'm not exactly sure when we'll air that. Next few weeks. Yeah. All right. Enough
tooting our own horn.
Enough honking our own horn here. Yeah. Let's get to our predictions. And then we'll throw to this week's guest, Chris Beck. So let's start with the AL MVP. Who do you got, my man?
Well, this is not going to be a very controversial choice, but I'm going with, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Mike Trout.
Yeah, me too. Okay. That literally, that's it's so funny because I was reading an article 3 weeks ago and Mike Trout was being interviewed and he was like, you know what? I really feel like I found my swing this offseason.
It's about time.
Like, dear God.
Dear God, it's
so
right.
If he has found his swing, look out, American League.
Yeah, absolutely.
NL MVP, who do you got?
Not a very exciting pick either, Mookie Betts.
Okay, and that's very fair. I think Christian Yelich is going to win it this year. I think he's going to have a massive bounce back year. The hope.
I don't hate that. I kind of hate it. I mean, he was one of my predictions, I think, for batting average leaders last year.
Yeah, last year.
He embarrassed me the whole season. So
yeah.
I'm a little scared. Well,
okay, so batting title, AL, which is...
batting average.
Highest batting average.
Drum roll, please. Bo Bichette.
Hey! Whoa!
I really tried to not be a homer for these predictions and just list three Blue Jays, but I think Bo Bichette's going to just absolutely crush this year. I think he's going to be in the conversation for MVP. I see 30 home runs and a 300 batting average for him this year.
That would be incredible. I hope you're right. But now I'm embarrassed by my prediction. I've got Alex Bregman. I think he's going to have a big bounce back year. And someone's got to be hitting on that Houston team. And I think he's the guy. And he always has a decent average. Right. I think he'll be the guy. NL batting title, who you got?
Mookie Betts.
See, and I'm going Mookie Betts there too.
Okay.
The guy's just a superstar. Okay. Cy Young, AL, who you got?
Shane Bieber.
Oh my God, man. Me too. Yeah.
This is going to be a boring prediction.
Right? There's no competition. Year. We're just saying the same guys here. Yeah.
How's Mike Trout doing? Yeah, still doing good. Okay, cool.
Yeah. NL Cy Young.
Blake Snell.
Hey, I like that prediction.
I think he's got a chip on his shoulder after last year with Tampa Bay and how that went. I think he feels like he's got, again, something to prove. I don't know if he actually does have something to prove. I think he's established, but
yes,
now in San Diego, officially, Yu Darvish is the ace there. He's getting the opening day start. Yes. So yeah. Blake Snell's the number two, but I think Blake Snell's better than Yu Darvish. I think he's going to have a great year. So
I think I agree with you on that. I've got, see, in this one, here's the thing. I did not step out of, I'm not taking a chance here. I just think it's going to be Jacob DeGrom.
Okay.
If he stays healthy, he wins it every year.
Fair enough.
And just watching him pitch this spring, like the guy was hitting 100. Like, he throws 101 and looks like he's tossing a catch. Like, he's just playing catch. Like, the guy is...
He's very casual and just naturally...
Oh, my God. He's just so talented. So, that's my prediction.
All right.
We'll see where things land.
Well, we'll throw those predictions up in our Discord. Anybody that's listening wants to join our Discord, please do. That's a fun place to hang out. We've got a nice little community starting to grow.
Yeah, we do have a nice little community going there. And you know what? For some of these interviews, because we are getting so many great interviews that they're kind of piling up on us here. Yeah. So they're backlogged, right? We've got about six of them in the bank right now. And I mean, we are only airing one a week. So if you would like to watch live, that does give you the opportunity to do that. We put the live link in there, and then you can, you know, watch Josh Palacio even today.
That's a great
at 3:30 if you wanted
today,
to. So yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's throw to our man, Chris Beck. See everyone on Friday, I guess, or join us on Thursday for
come stop by
opening
on Thursday at youtube.com/thewalkoffpodcast. We'll be live hanging out during the Blue Jays game.
Yeah.
Ask us questions, make fun of my Alejandro Kirk prediction, everything. It'll be a good time. So
again, thanks everybody so much for listening. Chris Beck should be starting with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats AA this year. He is a Miami boy. And childhood friend of Alec Manoah, and honestly just such a great conversation. Enjoy everybody, thanks for listening.
Runner goes trying to steal third, and that one is belted to left center field, and that baby's gone.
Hi guys, this is Chris Beck. Thanks for tuning in on the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack. See you this year in Toronto.
So pleased to be joined by catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays organization, Chris Beck. Welcome to the walk-off, man. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Scott. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good, buddy. I saw a little Instagram photo you had up in your story there of you and your girl, and it said future wife. Are you newly engaged, my man?
It's coming. It's coming close. We've been together, high school sweethearts. Been together going on 6 years now. It's time to make a move for me.
Nice. Attaboy. Yeah, hey, no, I know. It's funny.
If you get that ring before you sign your big contract, then you don't have to get as big a rock, right? So
that's true. Oh, man. Saving some money right there.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, we're throwing out congratulations, Chris. By the way, man, big congrats on getting the call up to big league spring training, dude. That had to have been so exciting.
Oh, Scott, it was amazing, the call was... I was preparing the whole off season for this, and I'm just glad to be a part of such a great movement we got going on here in the Blue Jays organization. Guys are working hard, they're playing for a World Series, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
And I know you were just reassigned here at the end of last week before we got a chance to talk to you here, but I am super curious what that vibe was like going into big league spring training. What was the atmosphere like when you walked in? Because I know you kind of came in and things were already a little bit in the swing of things.
Yeah, so when I came in, everybody welcomed me with open arms and stuff. We just got right back into work. Didn't really miss a beat, just hopped right in. I've been ready. I was ready before I got here, so I'm glad I made that decision. I didn't slow down or nothing, but great atmosphere. Guys are great. We're playing to win a World Series, like I said, and it's nothing but a dream to just be a part of it.
I know things are up in the air right now. I mean, we are making progress, but it's still the middle of a pandemic. Have the Jays kind of mentioned to you where you might wind up? Are you possibly going back to Vancouver or New Hampshire? Do you know, still question marks, or what's up?
Yeah, so after spring training last year, I was supposed to break with the AA team. But, yep. You know, circumstances change. You know, yeah, all I can do is just stay ready, and it is what it is. Wherever it is they send me, I'll be ready to go.
Of course you will, my man. So you've been catching now for, what, 5 years, 6 years?
It's like my third, four. I would say Dunedin and Vancouver, and my last year in college were my – so this will be my fourth year.
Your fourth year, because that's what a lot of people might not know about you, is you actually changed position after high school to catcher. What inspired that move?
So that's just what they projected me as, and you know, I think it was a great decision on my part. I really embraced the role, and you know, I don't have any sort of regrets. I love where I am. I love where I stand as a player and what I bring to the field as a catcher. So you know, I think it was a great decision.
Well, there's definitely a mental part of the game that catchers are dealing with that maybe not every position does, because there's a lot on a catcher's plate, especially these days, right? Between managing the rotation, going over opponent stats and analytics, and you know, you're coming up with a plan for the pitching staff, but you still got to worry about your game defensively and offensively. How do you manage your time? Like, what does your routine look like day to day during the season, and then how does that differ in spring training? Because I'm sure you're very busy with bullpen sessions and stuff like that too.
Yeah. So you know, spring training and the season has its, you know, there's a couple common things, but for the most part, the catcher role, you got to prepare yourself and prepare your pitcher as best as you can. Whether that is, you know, it's all sorts of things. Whether it is reading scouting reports, going over scouting reports, whether it's the opposing team or just your pitcher itself on the plans of attack. Also, you know, getting my hips right, getting my body to move right in order to perform well defensively. Also, everyday work on the swing, you know, regardless if you're playing or not. Just try to maintain ready in all aspects of the game, really. It's all about preparation in this game. And then once the first pitch starts, you know, it's about just letting your natural ability and your preparation take over. So, yeah, most of my time is all preparing right before that first pitch to be like fully ready as I can.
I love that mentality of just being prepared. When you are preparing, what are you going over? Is it mostly the opposing batters and stuff like that, so that you know what you're calling with the pitcher? Like, what goes into the preparation of a catcher?
Yes, so we'll go over the lineup, you know, even guys that come off the bench. More or less on how we're going to attack according to who's on the mound. You know, how can we exploit our strengths against their weaknesses? And really, that's all it is. After that, it's just about executing the actual pitch and getting my position, getting my player, my pitcher, the right pitch call that we need for this specific moment or specific hitter. Really, it's all about execution. So that's all we can do is prepare, like I said, prepare for every single hitter. And not have one pitch in the game where we don't know more or less where to call. We should have the exact idea of what to call every single pitch.
You just want to avoid feeling like you're kind of guessing mid-game, I'm guessing, eh?
It's exactly. No guessing. No guessing here, Scott.
So you're a Miami boy, correct?
Yeah.
Are you bilingual, Chris? You speak Spanish, correct?
Perfectamente hablo español.
There you go. Buddy, Number one, it's one of the coolest things about baseball is how it is. Baseball has its own language, but it also has like two main languages that are, you know, all the players are working with here. With so many Latin American players and Spanish speaking players, have you found that being able to be bilingual has helped you as a catcher? Have you found that you've developed a little bit closer relationship with some of the pitchers because you are so versatile linguistically?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, some of the Hispanic guys, you know, they tend to be a little shy just because their English isn't proper, you know, and I love to be that middleman to where, A, I can teach them how to say stuff or when to say stuff. Two, I also try to preach to them to not be shy, you know, and to the best way for them to learn is to speak it And then mostly I just love being able to be that guy to help others, you know, communicate to each other, because it can be so easily like misinterpreted where some guys don't talk to each other just based off shyness, based off whether they don't want to make a mistake speaking the language.
It's funny because one thing that was brought up to us, we talked to, he was a member of the Canadian national team and he was playing winter ball, AAA winter ball down in Mexico. And he was talking about that he had played with guys in the minor league system that didn't play near as well. And then when he went down and played in their home court, you know, down in where they were comfortable, their comfortability made them two times the ball player. So yeah. I'm guessing just trying to make a guy comfortable goes a long ways.
Oh, huge, Scott. It's huge, you know. Being in a situation like this where there's immense amount of pressure coming from everywhere, you don't want to have any pressure inside your clubhouse. You know, you want to be free. You want to be yourself, perform, and just play this game that everybody here loves, you know. So, yeah, it's a big thing. Communication's huge, especially in a clubhouse, you know, so... Yeah, I embrace that role a lot. You know, I love helping guys communicate with each other. I love being able to communicate with the English speakers and the Spanish speakers. And, you know, eventually we got guys here that you see year to year, they just get better in English. Next thing you know, you're just speaking English.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It must be satisfying kind of knowing that you are that bridge between those type of players, right? Like,
yeah,
that's a big awesome. Role, man.
I love it. I embrace it. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
So I got a kick out of this, my man. You show up to spring training and your bats say Chris Wreck on them.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, thank God they only messed up one set of orders. But, hey, they sent over brand new orders. We got bats for the whole year.
So that's awesome. Well, what I love too is you were no diva. You're like, oh, I can fix this. Give me a Sharpie.
Oh yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. You know, I'm spoiled right now. Thank God. You know, I got a lot of stuff here that, you know, I only dreamed of having. So yeah, once I got that bag, you know, it's okay. I could deal with some adversity. Feel a little Sharpie in.
So I know there's going to be a lot of listeners that don't know this and will enjoy this little tidbit, but you and Alec Manoa, you've known each other since you were kids, right?
Oh, elementary school.
Elementary.
Yeah, I've seen him grow up, become the horse that he is now. Yeah. So yeah, it's amazing. His family is practically my family. His older brother is, you know, just like a brother of mine. So yeah, I love it. You know, it's a blessing that me and him are a part of such a great organization.
Yeah, and that's so cool that you've kind of got to come up together and watch each other improve as ball players. Alec obviously had an incredible spring training this year. I know he was reassigned with you here a few days ago. Have you caught him yet this spring? Have you noticed what have you noticed for improvements this year?
So coming in, I was catching him the whole offseason, you know, preparing both of us. And coming in, I knew he was going to be special. You know, he was really hungry. He has no plans to stay in the minor leagues. He wants to be part of the big league team, which, you know, his stuff, man, it's going to play. It's going to play. And his attitude on the mound, you know, it's on a different level. He's going to be a great addition to this team. And I'm so happy for him. He deserves it.
That's great, man. Now I know we're going to go back to your history a little bit here. You've played college ball in Maine, so cold weather is no new thing to you, right? You have been north of the border playing with Vancouver. Have you been to Toronto yet?
I have not been to Toronto, but I really, really want to go.
Yeah, man, get on it. No.
So yeah, the cold, you know, I've been around the cold, been around the hot. I could deal with some weather changes.
Did you enjoy Vancouver when you were there?
Oh man, it was amazing. Coming from University of Maine to, you know, it's a really cold atmosphere, not a lot of fans, but when I got to Vancouver and I saw those fans and just the atmosphere, you know, Canada's fans are so awesome. You know, no matter what I did, mess up or not, the fans were behind you. It was great. It was such an amazing moment in my life.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's been eye-opening because I didn't know a lot about the Vancouver Canadiens before we started doing this podcast even. And the more guys we talk to, the more we've kind of realized that it's like, as you become a member of the Toronto Blue Jays organization, Vancouver seems to be the first time you really feel like a pro because you're playing in such a great stadium with Nat Bailey Stadium and the fans. I know Joey Murray kind of put it. He said that people don't know who you are, but they know you play for the Vancouver Canadiens. And he's like, it was just really cool to kind of have that recognition.
Oh, it was so amazing. You know, outside of the field, people might, like JoJo said, they might not know you by name, but they know they've seen you in the stadium, you know, and they'll come right up to you and say, hey, you play for the Canadiens. They're so excited, you know, the whole team, it's amazing.
They're like, is this the Chris Wreck?
Oh, man. We got clubbies and coaches and everybody's playing around with me. This team. We'll see if that wears off or not.
Yeah, we'll see how long you're Chris Wreck for. That's right. So obviously, and I already kind of know how you're going to answer this question because there's only one way to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it to you anyways. As a player, obviously all you can do is concentrate on what you can control and work on getting better. When you look at this team's catching depth in the Blue Jays organizations, it is loaded with talent. How do you kind of approach your game mentally to not worry about who's ahead of you on the depth chart or who's pushing from behind and just stay focused on you?
Yeah. So, you know, with my career in baseball, you know, I've gone through a lot of experiences. I ask a lot of questions, you know, I'm in full support of all the catchers and all the teammates that I have here in Toronto. You know, there's a lot of space in the big leagues for everybody, although we all want to play for the Blue Jays, of course.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, like you said, control what we can control, come out and work hard every day. And still root for your teammates, even if they are your team. It's okay, you know, because if you do well, they do well. You keep a good environment. You know, it'll all play out itself, and you just gotta be okay with that. But yeah, I'm excited. You know, it's a good group of catchers, and if one person is really good, you know, everybody strives to be that good. You know, it's not everybody's just an average player. We're all trying to be elite athletes, and it's the way to go.
Man, I really like that mentality, the idea of just constantly having your teammates back, even though they may be technically competition for you right now. But in the long run, there's a lot to be said for being a good teammate.
Exactly. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, outside of the field, we're people, you know, and it's all about having the relationships with them. So translate that over to the field, you know, and good things happen. Good things happen to good people, and that's what you got to do. You know, you can't be a bad teammate no matter what. I could go a week without playing. It's fine. I'm still rooting for whatever it is that's catching. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly fine with me. So, my route's going to come, whether it's different or the same. It's all right.
Love it.
Just keep working hard and I'll stay ready.
I love that, buddy. Well, we're taking a look at the mental side of the game here. When it comes to baseball, it might be the sport where players need to deal with slumps every single year. Every single player, it doesn't matter how talented, how good, slumps come and slumps go. So I'm kind of curious, when you're in a slump, what do you do to get out of it? Have you had a prolonged slump? And what was your process for breaking out of it?
Yeah, so the first one came in Vancouver. So I'd say like my first 10 games, I was in like 400, and I was on top of the world, you know, and I thought going to Toronto this year, you know, that's just my immature college mind thinking, you know, and then I fell into it. I think I went like 1-for-19 or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, I went really low mentally, which, you know, it hurt me, but I'm glad it happened so early in my career because, like you said, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. But yeah, I grew out of it, and the preparation of it is just keep grinding, you know, don't give up working hard just because you're struggling. That's when you got to work the hardest. And, you know, just know it's a long season, a lot of games. It's okay if you go 0-for-4, 0-for-10. It's all right. You just keep working, and eventually it'll play itself out.
It's funny that baseball, has to deal with so many slumps, the players, but is also such a numbers driven game where analytically, you know, like you go 0 for 10 at the plate, which every single batter has done, right? But all of a sudden you're literally watching your batting average go take a big dip sometimes, especially if it's closer to the beginning of the season. It must be tough at times to keep it in perspective and not panic, right?
Yeah. So definitely cannot panic. And, you know, it's going to happen. You see it around the league. Guys will be hitting one something, and then you see them at the end of the year and they're hitting high twos, you know, maybe threes. Yeah. It all, like I said, Scott, it all plays itself out throughout the season. You just can't give up on trying and working hard. The moment you just give up on yourself is when it's never going to get better. So just keep busting. You might win ball games, and as long as you try to help your team win, those numbers will show up itself. You just got to play your game.
100%, my man. Let's go behind the plate now. When you are catching a pitcher, and let's say a base-stealing threat gets to first base, how does your mentality change, and how does your approach to the game change?
So, basically, my mentality when there's a runner first is that he's going. No matter who it is, you know, you just got to stay ready. But at the end of the day, it's all about working on this hitter. And then that'll be the secondary thing. Just make sure you're ready to help your pitcher out and not let this guy get into scoring position. But it's also at the same time trying to help your pitcher out and execute the pitch that we need to throw at this very particular moment for this hitter. Too much mind on the runner on first. But as a catcher, you know, that's your thought, definitely. You know, because that'll save a pitcher's ERA, save a pitcher's career if you could just keep guys off second base.
That is, number one, that I love that response. But it's really interesting to me that you are also worried about your pitcher's numbers in that case, right? Where you're like, honestly, it is a big deal having that extra run on the ERA. It is a big deal, you know, adding that extra 90 feet when having a guy go from first to second. So when you're looking after your pitchers like that, it must go a little bit of a long ways for them as well, right? Like they're like, well, this guy's got my back, so damn right I've got Chris Rex back. Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, all these guys as catchers, we gotta be like a family, you know, with the pitchers. And yeah, you want them to come off the mound every night and come up to you and say, hey, thanks, man. Thanks for, you know, helping me out, helping me have this great game. Because at the end of the day, it takes both of us to be on the same page and execute and have a good night, you know. Same thing when it goes bad, you know. I take blame for some stuff. You know, it's a two-man thing, you know. We got to be on the same page when we do good, when we do bad. It's both of us. So, yeah, we got to build those relationships because you want guys to throw to you. So, yeah, that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's about winning games. And when we win games, it's because pitcher and catcher are both on the same page. It won't work any other way.
I love that mentality. All right, my man. I know you're literally squeezing us in here between workouts and stuff at spring training, so we won't keep you too much longer here. Do you have a few minutes here for some listener questions? We can wrap it up here if you need to move along here.
Yeah, I'm okay with a couple questions. I got a couple questions. About 8 minutes.
Okay. We'll make it fast and we'll go from here. So, listener questions. I've got James from Toronto, and he asks, "Hey, Chris, who is the best pitcher you've caught and why?"
Oh, I mean, we got some pretty good arms.
You better say Alec.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say. Well, definitely, you know, he's up there for sure. Stuff wise, you know, we got guys that can force him it really fast, big curveballs, or we got guys with hard sinkers, hard sliders, even crafty guys, you know, Ryu, Tommy Malone. We got, you know, it's a lot of specialties, which is amazing to see in the big leagues, because in the minor leagues, you see guys with this talent. They just can't execute how they do here. But yeah, you know, Alec, Ryu, Steve Matz. Yeah. We got some good arms, you know. There's a lot of guys with special stuff here. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting year for Toronto.
It is exciting, man. All right. Next question is from Teresa in Vernon, BC, which is about 4 hours west of Vancouver. She says, hey, Chris, congrats on going to big league spring training this year. If you had to pick your biggest moment or the moment that you enjoyed the most in your baseball career, what would that be?
So, first of all, thank you, Teresa, for congratulating me. And thank you for supporting the Vancouver Canadiens, the Toronto Blue Jays. So to answer that question, you know, it's a lot of combined moments. Definitely being called up to big league spring training is one of them. It was just like getting drafted all over again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd still keep my first hit as a professional. You know, it was at Eugene against the Cubs, and guy was throwing 100 miles an hour. I just came from college. I was like, oh my gosh, starters throwing 100. So yeah, swung and missed at the first one about 2 days late, hit the second one into the dugout, and then he threw the fastball again and had a line drive to right. It was, you know, such a surreal feeling to just, I finally got my first professional hit. So yeah, nice. Still looking for the big league hit. That'll be the next one.
Beauty. Yeah, that's amazing, man. Congrats on that. All right, we'll get this last question in here before you got to take off. It's from Mike in Calgary. So Calgary's Alberta, just above Montana. He says, hey, Chris, I actually saw you play in Dunedin back in 2019. How much have you seen the facility there improve over the last 2 years? I hear this new complex is crazy impressive.
Oh, wow. This new complex is amazing. It's amazing. We got everything you need. Hot tubs, cold tubs, full two-story gym, like about anything you need. We got two training rooms, two big indoor cages. You know, it's just everything you need to be ready to get this team to win a World Series. It's right here. And, you know, there's no excuses. You can put in work from the morning to the night if you really want to.
Amazing. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Scott, thank you so much for having me. So excited. So absolutely excited for this team.
Thanks for listening to The Walk-Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack. Join us for a new episode next Monday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Jesus Christ! Chose to pitch to him.